We'll start with some of the basics, because to be honest, the Bible is very mysterious to many of us. And maybe you've tried to read it before, found it challenging. Maybe you just found it confusing. There's any number of ways you might react, but chances are you've tried to read the Bible at some point in your life and had trouble with it. And I always kind of joke, you know, my guess would be you probably started at the beginning. You probably one day said, I'm going to read this whole thing, and I'm going to start in the very first page, and I'm going to go from there. And Genesis goes really well. It's pretty interesting stuff. Then Exodus 2, cool stories. Leviticus, things get a little iffy. It's a bunch of animal sacrifice stuff. It's getting a little far out. And then Numbers gets really boring. And if you even make it through Numbers, then you get to Deuteronomy, and it's just repetitive. It covers some of the same materials before. So it's a pretty common thing to try reading the Bible in order like that and to get very discouraged, because it's a very mysterious book. It's a book like no other book that you'd ever pick up off the shelf. It is an utterly transformative book, though. And so as confusing, challenging as it can be, it's important that we actually do wrestle with it and give it our best effort to understand it, because usually our problems come from approaching the Bible in ways that the Bible wasn't meant to be approached. So the first thing you need to know is this book, Bible, was written a very long time ago. You probably knew that part at least. But we often approach the Bible thinking that it was written at one particular point in time. That's the way a lot of critics will talk about the Bible. They'll claim that somebody edited the Bible or somebody decided how it was going to be put together. Like the Da Vinci Code says, it was Constantine who one day decided what was going to be in the Bible. Well, the Bible was actually written over a span of many, many hundreds, thousands of years. It wasn't written by one person. It was written in three different languages, ancient languages that most of us don't know and will probably never know unless you're going into professional theological academic studies or planning to go into ministry. Then you might learn a little tiny bit of those ancient languages, because few people really speak them these days. The Bible was also written in cultures that are very different from our own. People who wrote it had different thought patterns, different values, different ways of understanding the world. They had different ways of writing. Writing has changed over the years, and the way people write relates to the context in which they were. So no wonder it's confusing. Now, adding to this confusion, unlike most books we know, the Bible doesn't read in a straight line from beginning to end. Its subject matter isn't neatly arranged by topic. You know, that makes it hard for us. But that's part of its power and its authenticity, is that the Bible is something that's been developed over that long period of time by so many different sources, and it happens to have been brought together into, you know, one bound book for us. But this is a relatively new concept in the history of the Bible, that we could pick up the whole Bible in one hand and that we could all have an opportunity to read it. The Bible has changed very much over the years because it's not just one book that's always been bound together. It's actually a collection of many books. It's like a library. It's got a collection of books, 66 of them in fact, written by different people in different places at different times in different languages. That explains why it's so often frustrating when we start at the very beginning of the Bible and expect to read the whole way through. We know not to do that with libraries. We know not to go to the Toronto Reference Library, walk in the front door, find the first shelf, and read the first book we find on the shelf, and then the second, and then the third, and then the fourth. We know that we'll get bored, that we'll get lost, it's just not the smartest way to read the library. And it's the same thing with the Bible. We wouldn't do that with the library, so don't do it with the Bible. Now, the Bible contains these 66 books written over a long period of time. At least 40 different authors wrote these books in all their different situations. And that means they're not all the same style of literature. It's another mistake that's often the source of people's problems as they read the Bible, is that they've decided that the entire Bible is one genre of literature. And so they read everything as if it's their favorite genre, when in fact there are many different genres in the Bible. There's law, there's history, there's poetry, there are hymns and songs, there are biographies, letters, prophecies, sermons. a style called apocalyptic that we don't even read anymore in our day and age. There are all these different styles in the Bible, and you know style matters. You don't read a newspaper article explaining events in our world in the same way that you read a romance novel. You know to read those genres differently. There are different kinds of books to be read with a different mindset, and you're going to take away different things from reading those books. Well, it's the same with the Bible. And it's the source of so many people's troubles with reading the Bible, that they expect the whole Bible is one genre. They say, you know what? The whole Bible is a book of rules telling me how to live. And then they'll take one line out of poetry and claim that that is a law that they're supposed to follow, completely missing the point. When people decide the whole Bible is a book of law, they miss the poetry and the music that make the Bible so powerful. In the same way, when some people read the Bible as being completely poetic, it's all metaphor, it's all song, they completely miss the facts that are in the Bible about history, the facts about biographies of people. They miss the laws that are there as well. So it's important as we read the Bible to actually let the Bible tell us how to interpret it. If you are reading a particular book of the Bible, I'd encourage you to just, as you're reading, get a little bit into it, and just stop yourself at some point and ask yourself, what am I reading here? You can tell. You don't need me to tell you. You don't need a book to tell you. You can actually just read the Bible, and you can probably figure out, just from reading it, whether you're reading a book about history, a book of laws, a census with numbers in it about how many people lived here and there, whether you're reading a biography of somebody like Jesus, whether you're reading a letter that somebody wrote to another person. You'll be able to tell, and you'll be able to then interpret it based on what genre of literature you happen to be reading. Now, it's like a big library, right? And that sounds like it's very scattered and diverse. Like there's 66 books that are completely unrelated, have nothing to do with each other. Well, that's not true. There are 66 books written in all those different styles, different languages, and things like that. But there is structure to it. And the most obvious division in the Bible is the division between the Old Testament and the New Testament. We can consider them to be like floors in a library. We could say the first floor of the library is the Old Testament. It's the part of the Bible that's written long before Jesus walked on earth. It was finished being written about 500 years before that, so about 500 BC, the Old Testament as we know it was written and done. And it was written, it's considered, you know, some would call it the Jewish Bible. That's not what Jews themselves would call it. But it relates very much to the Jewish people, God's relationship with Israel, and what he did for them. It begins with God creating humanity, to know God and be known by God. We've talked about that, right? The six-act play begins there, talks about how humans rebelled against God. The fall, we call it. And then it talks about how God tried to reconnect with people, sending prophets to speak for him, giving laws for them to know what life with him looked like, because that's what they were made for. That's all the story of the Old Testament. And it can be frustrating and challenging to read if we forget its context, that it's the first floor of the library that the second floor is going to build on top of. The first floor of the library establishes a problem that needs to be solved. God and humans were made to be together. They are not. And the problem is that humans can't fix this problem. And so the end of the Old Testament can leave you hanging, because things have gone very wrong with God's people. And sometimes people will read the Old Testament and they'll say, I just read this horrible story. I had no idea such terrible things were in the Bible. And if they read it as a book of laws about things you should do to be a good person, they get very frustrated and they say, how can this be in the Bible? This terrible, terrible story of violence, for example. Because they're reading it through that lens, right? They're reading it. I was told it's a good book, so everything in here must be good, right? When we understand what the Bible actually is, we can begin to see, okay, this is establishing a need for a Savior. That something has gone very wrong in our world that's beyond human capabilities. And every time humans try to fix things, we get it terribly, terribly wrong. So the Old Testament kind of leaves you hanging, and it's demanding a sequel. There's got to be some fulfillment here. There's got to be a resolution to the story. And that's what the New Testament's all about, the upper floor of the library. It's written in Greek. tells the story of Jesus and the church, the community that formed around him and his teachings. Even after he left the earth, communities started to form and multiply and communicate with one another. And that's what the New Testament is a record of. So these two major divisions, the two floors in the library, the bottom floor of the Old Testament, and then the floor that builds on top of it, the New Testament, both are extremely important. Neither one can be dismissed. And then there's a big story, too, to the whole thing. The whole Bible, you could look at it and say, you know what, this is one book with one message. There's obviously more to it than that. There's a lot more detail you can get into. But if we want to look at it big picture, we can say, you know what, the one message of this is basically the six-act play. God created us to know us, be known by us. We threw it all away. God's been trying to help us get back. We can't. And so he comes to us and works with us to bring about the ending, which was like the beginning. So that's the big story that we can read in this entire book. I just basically distilled it down. It's still worth reading, though, to make sure I actually got that right.
Well, we have a question for you to discuss today, and as usual, we hope that you won't just think about it on your own, but that you'll share your thoughts with some friends, family, colleagues, fellow commuters, somebody else in your life who might benefit from taking this course to help them grow as a Christian. Here's your question for today. Have you been biased toward the Old or New Testament by past experiences? Why? Well, have a great discussion, and I'll see you tomorrow. Bye for now.